Well, welcome, welcome back again. It's great to see everyone in person and virtually. Thank you so much for lending your time and your energy today. And I would like to call this meeting to order. We haven't seen each other in quite some time. So just to restate the purpose of the meeting today, on May 21st, 2021, this art selection panel came together and voted to approve selection of our artist, Cliff Garten. So this art selection panel is gathered today just to review and to approve the final design package that has been titled These Truths, Voices of Jacksonville, which will now include the additional text content to be reflected in the design of the sculpture so that we're able to proceed with fabrication of the sculpture. So thank you again and welcome. Call attendance so that we can ensure we have quorum. Kimberly Kim, I am here, the chair. Judge Salvador,
present.
Chris Flagg,
present.
Kathleen Doherty,
present.
Ms. Anne-Marie Knight,
present.
Judge Hudson,
present.
Ms. Lori Boyer,
here.
Teresa, I'm here. Thank you. We do have quorum established. Thank you again to also the invited guests today, Ms. Diana Donovan, Ms. Michelle Lee, Ashley Wolf, and our APP committee and staff. Yvette Angelique Adams is online, and Tim Gilmore. And Cliff Barton is also with us. And next we will have project roles and responsibilities and backgrounds presented by Corey Driscoll.
We're gonna do one other thing.
Oh, sure.
Public comment.
Okay.
We're gonna ask for public comment now. There's a time period for public comment, and then we'll check again at the end of the meeting in case any public comment came in via email or chat. Do we have any public comment at this time? Hearing none. I'm gonna check email. I don't have any public comment coming in via email or chat. So, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much, Ashley. And Corey.
All right, thanks. My name is Corey Driscoll. I serve as the Art and Public Places Committee Chair, and just really the Cultural Council staff asked me to be here to review the roles and responsibilities of this panel versus the committee, and ultimately just try to be as clear as possible. I've been involved with the Art and Public Places Committee for 6 years, served as the chair for the last couple of years, 2.5 or so, and so I've seen a lot of these projects go, you know, from start to finish. And what tends to happen is that the closer they get to completion, the more public interest starts to develop. And so we want to make sure that we're following the policies all to the letter of the law so that we can move the process along. There's been a lot of time for public input into this process with the history of this particular one being so long and so much data gathered as far as the public was surveyed and all that stuff. But at this point, I just wanted to review real quick what my committee does. If I serve with Ms. Kimberly Kim on the committee. So my committee is a group of artists and art professionals, I guess, and district community members and other stakeholders from the community interested in public art in the city of Jacksonville. One of those members of the committee chairs each art selection panel. So that's what Ms. Kim chaired this panel. I think there may have even been a different committee member at the start of it, since it was so long ago. But Ms. Kim chaired this panel. Our committee reviews what the panel did in the end. So basically we just look and see, was the process followed for selecting public art? And we're trying to have a democratic selection of this of the artist and of the piece. And we want there to be some process where that ends, you know, not a review of the review of the review of the review. So in this case, my committee will review and go over with Ms. Kim how this panel came to make the selection that they did, and then vote to essentially ratify that once you guys have voted. All right, the Cultural Council, as far as their role in this, they're the administrative support for both the Art and Public Places Committee and for the Art Selection Panel. They're not charged with selecting the artists for the art in the end. The Art Selection Panel, today review the submission of the final design from the artist Cliff Garden. You'll go through a design criteria for rating the design, and basically you'll come up with one of the three options here outlined towards the bottom of the first page of our agenda. So if the final design is approved, it'll move forward to the Art and Public Places Committee, where we'll vote on that, on the ASP process on September 14th of this year. If the final design is approved but contingent on modifications, the Cultural Council staff will ensure that the modifications are made and meet the Art Selection Panel's requirements before moving forward to the Art and Public Places Committee for approval of the process on September 14th of this year. Lastly, if the final design is not approved, the artist will have the remainder of the week to make modifications to meet the Art Selection Panel's requirements. And an Art Selection Panel meeting will be reassembled to try to get back together in the next couple of weeks, September 1st and 7th, for approval of the final design then. Again, trying to get this completed before the Art and Public Places Committee meets again to review the process on September 14th. Lastly, this project is a little bit different than some of the others in the sense that the artist that was selected wanted to work with additional artists. And so, when we were outlining how this process would work, it was kind of, this is really one of the reasons I think why I'm here is to define this, because the Art Selection Panel needs to really review the whole design in the end. I think there was discussion in the past about a subcommittee or subgroup kind of reviewing the text before it would go on. Really, it's best that the Art Selection Panel gets together to approve the final design rather than there being any subpaneling of that group. So, and similarly, the artist is essentially, Cliff Garden is responsible for submitting the final work, and he's overseeing his team of the five writers and artists and editors that he subcontracted to complete this work. So just outlining that, the artist subcontracted separately from the Cultural Council. The Cultural Council has a contract with the artist, but not with the subcontractors. The artist is responsible for the management and payment of the subcontractors. The final design will be viewed as the artist's work and reviewed by the panel, really, as you're reviewing Cliff Garden's work that he's presenting, of course, with his team, but he's heading that up. Did I miss anything? For a full list of the artist's responsibilities, please see the project overview for final design evaluation. That's the portion where we're going to look at, essentially the criteria for evaluating the final design. And lastly, just want to reiterate the purpose of this meeting is that the Art Selection Panel is gathered today to review and approve the final design package titled These Truths, Voices of Jacksonville, which now includes the additional text content to be reflected in the design of the sculpture before it's received the application. And Madam Chair, I pass it back to you.
Thank you so much, Corey, for this. And Diana's project updates and overview.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I just want to start by thanking the Art Selection Panel. You had a tremendous amount of time, investment, and talent donated to this process. And I know the community appreciates you, as well as the Cultural Council, both virtually and in person. We appreciate your presence, your thoughtfulness, and your engagement. And I also want to thank our artists. This is a new and exciting process, and I think it sets a precedent for other cities, how we navigate this. And it's really exciting that we had voices of Jacksonville local editors, poets, storytellers to come together and work through this. And it was a pilot and new process. So since the last time we've gotten together, we had Ashley Miller, who's a local representative and an assistant artist, work with Cliff to be able to help be the eyes and ears on the ground, boots on the ground, if you will, to help survey the area, to instruct the group of subcontractors, to help him find the talent, to curate, to get to this spot. And I know that he'll walk us through his creative process in the final design, but I really just want to highlight right now how intentional the public involvement has been in this, how intentional the voice of the public has been heard, even prior to curating the shareholder vision. So you'll see when Michelle walks us through the actual process of the evaluation criteria, but that's based off of the shareholders' vision, the call to artists, and the final design package narrative that Cliff shared, saying this is why it's important to honor the voice of the local Jacksonville partnership text incorporated into this final design package. So we've been able to get through the subcontracting process, the subcommittee process. There was a budget increase. So one thing that we had to navigate through in this past year has been a resurgence of the pandemic. So this time last year, we were all adapting and changing, and favorite word of pivot and throw it, I've heard others say. And then through that process, we were able to advocate to the city for more funding, and they actually answered the call and became wonderful partners. And I think we can thank a special person in this room, Teresa Eichner, for her help in navigating that to make sure that the steel costs were covered. Not unique to the arts and culture sector, but certainly a challenge for us on the scope and capacity of this project to make sure that that budget was covered and honored and that we could keep progressing forward. So we appreciate very much her leadership on that. Subcommittee process, evaluation criteria, and evaluation mechanism have been completed. Moving beyond just today, I want to thank local council staff support on this. And as mentioned by Madam Chair, it's transitioned and evolved. And we wanted to honor what Corey said as chair of APP, the process to keep it right and tight to make sure that whatever selected, that it's truly the voice of the public and that they get to celebrate it with you. And so we're excited to hear both from the artists selected and represented at this moment and the team of artists that you work with and their representation to help tell the story of what this looks like, what it means, and then to gather the art selection panel's feedback to see what your areas of expertise, thought process, talent, and involvement believe to be the next chapter and next step of this project. So with that being said, I will turn it over to our APP director to walk through the stakeholders' vision, project goals, all the artists, and process that curated the evaluation, and then over to our artist to be able to talk about his process and be able to do what we've all been waiting for is hear that final design package.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Madam Chair. So the call to artists was developed based on a stakeholders vision presentation that was done, I believe, back in the late 2019-2020 by the Cultural Council. And they gathered many stakeholders, architects, local citizens to come up to get a vision of what this project would culminate to. And so that vision was the basis to start the whole process and develop the call to artists. So the charrette included artists, architects, urban planners, and the public to offer ideas for the civic space. So that's where it started. And there were many lively meetings, and out of that came about the call to artists that we have in the package that you can look at, that the Duval County Courthouse Plaza project will transform the 3-acre lawn in front of the courthouse into a safe, active, urban park with multiple spaces for small events, free speech, and sculptures. The entire plaza will be a dignified, memorable, and iconic work of art with artistic design elements such as lighting. So with that, we were able to develop the call to artists. And with that, the call to artists also added that the new artwork should succeed visually, environmentally, and spatially for pedestrians. So the call to artists is in your package, should be in front of you to see that that language and the background that we were looking for that had been developed with the stakeholders was projected into the call to artists. So to help us move forward, you know, on 5/21/21, you selected Cliff Garten based on the call to artists background that was presented, and Cliff was selected to be the artist to deliver on this project. So I think think it would be a good time now to introduce Cliff to our audience and for him to give us an update on what he's done since then. He will present his final design on the ribbons of the design layout. He will also include the text content to be reflected on the sculpture or the ribbons. And once we have reviewed, has commenced, Cliff will allow his artists who are here on the call, if they would like to comment, or if you have questions of the artists, this would be a good time to pose those to them. So once again, this art selection panel is gathered today to review and approve final design package titled Is Truth, Voices of Jacksonville, which now includes the additional text content to be reflected in the design of the sculpture ribbons so as to proceed to the fabrication. So Clift would like to turn it over to you.
You are muted still. We can see your screen.
See the screen now with the
yes.
Project? Okay, thank you everyone. I know your time is valuable. We have been working on this project as a team with Yvette Angelique, Tim Gilmore, who you see here and who are on this call, Ebony Payne English, Love Rains, and Andres Rojas for 1 year. It should be noted that Sohrab Homi-Phrasis withdrew from the project at the very beginning for health reasons, and he was replaced by Andres. So whereas there was a certain structure for working with referential texts, Andres did really not participate in that, but picked up where the collaboration left off. It's important to understand that this project is actually a collaboration, and that I stepped into this project looking at the courthouse as a public place and having it described as a public place for meeting, and that a lot of, you know, political protests happen here. So it's a very prominent public place, also administering justice for the county. The call was particularly difficult in that we had an early meeting with the security department of the courthouse, and they said, you had to build a sculpture that nobody could hide behind at all. And one of the reasons the sculpture has a very light touch on the ground is because of that. So that has made our engineering, you know, pretty challenging, all right, because we have to engineer something that has to withstand 130 mile an hour winds in Florida, which is one reason for the increase of the cost and this extra steel. But it isn't really engineered yet because I don't have a contract yet to start, which is why we're all here today.
Excuse me, Cliff, just so you know, we're not seeing your, I know I'm not seeing your screen, I see your screen, but I have the agenda in front of your presentation.
Okay, I don't understand. Oh, wait, okay,
close.
I'm sorry.
There
we go.
You've got it now?
Yeah.
I apologize. I introduced the poets. If you don't know what they look like, Tim and Yvette are on the call, but Ebony and Love and Andres are here in spirit. Because this thing takes off the ground like that, as I was saying, you know, there is a lot of complicated engineering, especially since it's all perforated and we have to digitally calculate its wind loading, et cetera, et cetera. But those were the challenges that were presented to us because, you know, we couldn't just do any kind of thing out there that people could hide behind. Now, it's important also to understand that this piece has a very strong nighttime presence because it's illuminated at night. And as I'll explain, it glows. So it's really the entry to the courthouse. And it's important to understand that the project RFQ, as was read to you a few minutes ago, was to create a public place on the entire front lawn of the courthouse. In other words, giving the city a new public place, a new park. And that these little areas in the front that we're doing right now are really the first phase of that. So that what is outlined in red here and here is really the first phase, which includes this concrete pad, the sculpture, and the mound. Of those things, we're including the berm and the sculpture, the berm right here, and the concrete pad, but not the text that surrounds that. That was a phase two item. So here are some views of the park as it's envisioned. And I know that we're not here to approve this, but I want to emphasize that this is the phase two of this project that in many ways will link with the sculptures that I don't want to go into right now, but that we're defining a much larger public place in Jacksonville. It also is very much like a drive-by and very public. It's very accessible. It's very open. And my project in this and many memorials is asking a question, which is a very important question in American public life. If we are tearing down these monuments that have defined our quote unquote democracy and our public places, who gets to decide that? And, you know, why after all these years are we removing them? And if we're removing these things, what is a model for replacing these types of places? These truths is such a model. In a more specific sense, the celebration and memorialization of the death of Dr. Martin Luther King and the sanitation worker strike of 1968 was monumentalized or memorialized and created a public place in Memphis, Tennessee. This model in Jacksonville is an extension of the work that I began there, not only with the community and with text, which in the Jacksonville project is far deeper because we had very, very good writers. You have a very incredible literary community in Jacksonville. I hope you understand that. It extends from rap, spoken word, poetry, literature. There are a lot of writers around. I was shocked. And I was very privileged to work with these writers. This is Memphis a week after George Floyd was assassinated. This is a very high compliment for my work in public because the public chose to use it in a particular way. And They're outlining, there's a granite ring that is an ellipse that outlines this piece that has the all the like 24 events of the sanitation workers strike, from the death of the two sanitation workers to the death of Dr. King and the final, you know, resolution to the strike. But they circumscribed the space in a peaceful manner. They understood why this space was, you know, given to them, what it represented, how it was to be used. And I believe that we're going to provide Jacksonville with a similar type of public space. At least that's my dream and the dream of the poets who are involved in this project. So this is a very important piece for Jacksonville, but I think it's also a very important piece in the context of public art and how public art is made and built in America and the kinds of places with respect to a broad concept like justice in our courts, you know, can reveal itself when it's open to interpretation and creativity. So there's a big moment when you're driving by this piece where you see these big words, equality, on the other side, equity, justice, and on the other side, freedom on this piece. So when we first began meeting as a group, we decided on those four words to guide us. And what began as a collaboration, which was based on each writer finding a text by a poet or activist or writer who was associated with Jacksonville and working from there, really kind of blossomed into an understanding of broader concepts of justice, equality, equity, and freedom, and creating poems and texts that dealt with that, that could be placed on the sculpture. Now, the poets know, but you should all know that a lot of text was generated. What you're reading today, you know, and what we've selected through the editing is only a very small portion of that work. There are also not only those big public moments, but more intimate moments where, you know, because the thing is open and, you know, giving, the people can come up and touch the text and read the text. And, you know, you're not going to get it all in one visit, but it will reveal itself, you know, over time. But as Love Reigns was very clear, you know, when you're going here, you're really stressed because you might have a court case or, you know, the justice is not always an easy thing. And so we wanted to give people some reason for hope. And so many of the texts, you know, deal with that kind of hope about democracy, what it is and what it can be. The sculpture will be illuminated at night. These sections over here, you can see my cursor, right? And over here are illuminated from the ground up. But this light box in the center that takes the big words justice is illuminated from the inside as a light box. Here's an image of it, may be thicker than that, I don't know. And then here is an example of the text cut through the stainless steel. So some of the text is only readable from one side, but the light box is readable from both sides. So we're trying to create something that's interactive, that invites you to engage with it because of its openness and the openness of the text that is on it. And here, there's another moment when the sun is at a particular angle, it's going to project shadows on the ground. So that's a further integration with the idea of light. And it, of course, something that's transparent because of the text that's cut out of it is always different in any kind of light from any kind of viewpoint. The scroll that comes out of the ground, if you remember, is part of the image of Lady Justice who carries the scroll, which is the basis of knowledge, which is necessary to mete out any kind of justice. And but then this scroll unfolds out of that and dives back into the ground with these truths, which are the assessment of American justice through the poetry of the poets in the project. And when you go out of the courthouse, you read freedom on one side and equity on the other. And there is this very classical moment where you have these two things, you go between these columns to leave the courthouse, and then you see the two scrolls coming out of the ground. The bollards should be, but aren't part of this part of the project. These are obviously designed in concert with the rest of the sculpture in the park, but they are, you know, necessary security devices installed in all courthouses. Some of the text is only readable from one side. So anything on the light box, you can read. It's different on the freedom side than it is on the justice side, but these texts that are cut out of a single band will only be readable from one side, but the scroll moves around. So you move around it to read the text. So we're really here today to look at the second part of this project, which, you know, has unfolded over the past year and now, you know, is before you. We have had one meeting with a text committee who reviewed this and made comments on these texts. And these texts are now before you in their final form. Before we discuss this further and answer your questions, I want to outline the way that the text has been structured into this ribbon or scroll. If I start here, this is called the spiral, and it's where the text emits out of the ground. The back porch is the, well, I'll go this way. Okay, so the tail is where this thing ends. I mean, it's kind of like a circle. It has no beginning or ending. It just moves out of the ground and back into the ground. This is the tail. The foyer is this little piece right here. So these labels correspond to the labels on the text that you receive to review. Justice is the light box. Again, this is the other side of the light box, which has the big word freedom. So there is a different text on the justice side than there is on the freedom side because it's a box and double-sided. Then we have the section we call the back porch and then the spiral. So those sections correspond to the labels that appear with the text. And maybe Yvette and Tim want to say something about this process now for a few minutes before we begin, you know, with questions and review of the full text for these truths.
I think you've done a great job highlighting the entire process and what we produced here. The only thing I would add is, as you can imagine, as artists, there was a lot of back and forth that went on. And so it was a wonderful and spirited summer last year, up into the fall.
And beyond.
Oh yeah, and beyond.
Yeah, and I just like to say that, you know, I love the way text interacts with community here and with space. And I think all of us were very conscious of that and very conscious of the fact that we're dealing with, a place that has a history and that we're dealing with a place where, you know, in 75 years, people will be reading these texts and thinking about these texts. And so we wanted them to be multifaceted and layered, but also clear enough and accessible enough. And I think all of us, you know, we're really thinking about those things a lot and listening to community members who had, in my experience, had some really interesting and varied things to say about what a project like this could do. And so I'm really thrilled with what came out of the whole, you know, what's been distilled out of all of that. And I hope that you guys are as well.
Thanks, Tim. And Yvette. So we'll open it up to questions now.
I'll go first. I have an overarching question.
I'm sorry, who is speaking?
Lori Boyer. I'm one of the committee members. So I remember the selection committee meeting a year ago or so. And at the meeting, we
just as in your illustrations here, we talked a lot about the, I'm going to call it medium text, that says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, et cetera. I'm reading correctly, the suggested text on the tail and the foil of this, you are eliminating that original historical document text in your proposal now. Is that correct? Because I think we had a condition that we asked that it be incorporated.
No, it's not eliminated. It's on the spiral under justice. Is that correct, Yvette?
Yes. Language shown on this page, it says those who care to know will cope and grow together. It's that right. Language under justice on the spiral.
Yes. Yes. And what was originally placed for that view was sample language around how some of the possible drawing from historical language could be used in different parts of the sculpture. And so that went on the spiral in terms of the creative spark that came with how to use that language.
Stan, my question is really specific in that we asked that those historical words be incorporated, not just the big four words, but that your use of the historical text be incorporated somewhere. And I'm in reading this, I'm not seeing where they are. So if you can just show me where they are appearing. It does not have, those are not direct quotes from, what we have seen here is a direct quote from a historical document on the sample that was selected. That is not it. These are all responses and interpretations as I see it.
So if I'm understanding correctly, what you are referring to is the image that was used that uses text from uses original constitutional text, right? And that was, and Cliff, correct me or if I'm wrong, or if there's a better way to frame this, but that was used to show how the text could look on the sculpture, and that we would have this group of Jacksonville writers who would come up with the actual text that would be on the sculpture.
It was suggested that that text be used in the piece. And we responded and said that we would use it in the piece, but that this wasn't something that we could quote on the piece. So the big picture of democracy is presented again and again in this piece. We hold these truths, as in we hold these truths to be self-evident. We the people. Really, the piece was about the bigger concepts of American democracy, and this is what the piece investigates.
Your response. I was misunderstanding because I understood that what we were going was some language taken from the Declaration of Independence, taken from the Constitution, and then contemporary responses to it. What I'm seeing that we have is kind of a contemporary response to the concept, not actually having the original textual language, which I was under the impression was going to be part of the piece.
And to complement the ASP panel feedback from Lori Boyer, we have her in writing from the minutes from the previous meeting, articulating, spoke of the desire to have the middle text stay as words from the Constitution, that it's important that some of the traditional text be part of the writing as important context and should be incorporated into the final text. And then Jen mentioned that those middle techs were also the ones on the base that are coming in ground. And then Lori again reiterated that she was inspired by the idea of using foundation writing slash verbiage going into interpretive words. Just from a reference standpoint, so from our general.
Hi, it's Kathleen Doherty. I'm also on the panel and was present in that meeting. So I recall the discussion around it. And I remember Laurie, you know, really, really emphasizing how she would like to see that and that being part of the broader discussion. I think I even remember it talking about coming from the ground, rooted, and then developing into additional contemporary responses from writers. And so, you know, I agree with Laurie's point that that's not what is presented here. That said, personally, from an artistic perspective, I'm less, I think this is a beautiful response. And I do like the kind of conceptual reference point. And Cliff, your note that certain keywords are like touch points throughout the piece, as opposed to kind of categorically starting and then moving from there, just having these wee moments throughout is I think very beautiful and nuanced. So I from an artistic perspective, I'm excited by this. My question is more to do with the so where you see the bullet points, is that one line leads into the next in that big center part in the light box? Is that how that for? I'm just trying to understand the format.
Yeah, that's a good question. Just a second.
Because it's kind of a free flow of writing there in that light box section, right?
Well, during this phase, we didn't know how the text was going to unfold or structure itself. And so that text that you see, this now is the front porch, this little area, and that text goes from, you know, here to here, all across Justice. And so, yes, they are one line of text to another, and each one has a certain number of lines, and, you know, a great deal of thought was put into how those lines, you know, strung together as a larger poem.
Right.
And I don't know, the diamonds, it really didn't import properly. It doesn't look right to me. I think it's, Yvette, it's because these truths were not our fathers. And where you see a capital letter, that's the beginning of each line.
Right. But we're not going to have bullet points on the thing, right?
No.
Okay.
How it imported, I apologize.
And then also the question, some of the text has, I think, very, very deliberately all capitals for certain words. Some has all, is that also just a formatting on this sheet, or is that a...
No, it actually is a visual device because we wanted that text coming out of the ground to be a different font. So it is these capital letters. And, you know, there's still, I don't know if I think we know what the fonts are, and I don't have them all for you. But yes, they are larger capital letters, and then these are smaller case letters running across the light box, and then the tail is larger case letters. It's just the way that the space was used.
Thank you. And sorry, can I ask one more question? I'm sorry, I don't want to monopolize. I read kind of backwards and forwardsing. My dog also agrees. Actually, I'm going to hand over the microphone before my dog really starts agreeing. Let me just deal with this, and I'll pass over the microphone to someone else.
Hey, Cliff, I'll pick up the slack. This is Chris Flagg. How are you?
Okay, how are you, Chris?
Yeah, really nice to see you. Nice presentation. Love where we're going here. I have a little bit of a structural problem, or not problem, the question I wanted to just run by you. You know, the lightness of the ribbon is part of the elegance of the design. And I love its flow. I love the sense of lightness to it. The vertical supports, the vertical poles that you're using, was there any experimentation with the thickness of the steel actually acting as its structural support where it hits the ground to where the elegance of that ribbon could be maintained without a vertical support?
Yeah, it's a very important sculptural question, which, as usual, gets back to engineering.
And sure, engineering. Yeah. For some reason,
I can guarantee you there's going to be more than two posts there. And yeah. I can't tell you what the thickness is, but my challenge is to engineer this thing so it retains its elegance. And, you know, we're not there yet. We haven't really, we've only had preliminary discussions about engineering. There's going to be more steel inside this box to give this rigidity.
Yes.
Yeah, which is going to be a challenge to keep it, you know, open to all the text so it's illuminated from the inside.
Push your, Cliff, push your structural engineers to see if there's an opportunity to minimize those vertical supports. And only in my opinion, obviously, but it would really add to the elegance and really the striking quality of that form if it was... you know, almost free form in its sense.
I'd like to have no posts at all, but that isn't going to happen with the hurricane requirements in Florida. It just gets worse, right? So
that is a problem.
Very aware of the issue that you're talking about, and you know, we're doing everything we can to minimize this, you know, those supports. So that's all I know right now.
I may try to help you with that as well. You know, we have our own steel shop at the company I'm with, and certainly a cachet of structural engineers. I'll just throw it out there as a design question to them as well. And if there's some suggestions, you know, I'm more than happy to share. But I'm sure your guys are on it as well. But thought I'd just throw it out there.
Yeah, our engineer's on it. We're just waiting for the go-ahead so we can get going on this.
Yes. Thank you for that.
It's a real valid issue.
Sorry, if I may just
continue
that my dog is now dealt with. Thank you for your patience. The text, I think Tim, you described it as like a jazz response, call and response almost, right? So that ebb and flow back and forward. So the texts then, to be clear, that we're presented with here at the end are an amalgam of everyone's text and going through that process, or they're individual pieces by individual people? How is that?
I can answer that for you. The majority of them, Caitlin, are individual pieces that are like put together, except for in the light box. In the light box, you know, there might be a line that's from one poet, another where you see the little diamond, you know, there might be a line from one poet, a line from another poet. I think there might be one poem that may be a combination of two people. And it really wasn't even, we were building on each other's work. So it was like a build on, a collaborative piece. So maybe one piece might have been two poets' voices, but for the most part, they kind of stand alone almost as separate stanzas.
Right, right. And with that in mind, and I'm always, I hope, going to champion the artist. So Cliff, obviously, huge, appreciation for this extraordinary work, and as the artist, I think it's breathtaking. I really do. I am also keen to understand how the poets as artists. I love the fact that the opening slide today said Cliff Gardner with, and listed the artists, the poets, in that manner. I really like that. So. Is there a way that is going to be captured or documented or shared with the viewing public.
Everyone's name in the collaboration, I'll appear as sculptor and they'll appear as poets.
That's great.
Anytime, anytime I show this piece, I also, mention that. And as well, the Cultural Council needs to, recognize that anytime the piece is mentioned, it's a collaboration. I led the collaboration. The idea to do this was my idea, but it's not my piece alone anymore. It's theirs too.
Right.
That was always the idea. I mean, we pay a lot of lip service to this kind of thing in public art, but when it comes to really doing it, it's extremely difficult. But also, fitting. I think that the idea of the scroll is fortuitous in some ways because we read a scroll by unrolling it and then the text unrolls. I mean, it was very difficult to rationalize how this text went on there, right? Especially the way that we did the project because, the poetry came later. And I knew that was going to happen all the time and I designed it so that we could accommodate it. But in an ideal world, it would be, sort of the poets would be there from the beginning. And I've done projects like that. But I think that, we did really well. And I think that in many ways, this project is a model for how a community engagement process can, actually yield something that's of the community with the community's voice and create a significant sculpture in public place at the same time. And I do think that's what's at stake here. It's a different model for making a public monument, right? It's a different process. It's the community's involved and there are a lot of voices and we try to accommodate that. But the other thing is, in this project, this wasn't like going, there is this aspect to it, and there may be, Yvette might want to talk about it there, because Jen and Yvette and I have talked about, there may be more community involvement in this, but it's very important that these artists were, all seasoned poets, and that they came to it with a developed voice. That was very important, right? Like I developed my own voice as a sculptor. They came with developed voices as poets. And so, then it was, they appreciated, having an opportunity, and then it was just a matter of them doing it. And I think that, this idea of call and response and the way jazz is made is ultimately the answer to the question of why we didn't quote these truths we held so self-evident that all men are created equal. Why we didn't quote that verbatim, because I think when we tried to quote it verbatim, this is what happened. this was the response. And I do think that it's interesting that it very, after we decided on those big words, the project very quickly, got its own mind in terms of people dealing with bigger poetic concepts about justice, like justice is an oak with many branches. I mean, those types of metaphors were what, the poets brought to the process and that really led the process of dealing with, well, what is justice in America today? Who does justice serve? What is the future of justice? Those kinds of big questions are what you're seeing here. I don't know, Tim and Yvette probably have something to say about that too.
Yeah, I'd like first, Kathleen, I'm so glad that you remembered that jazz metaphor, because it really is kind of how the thing ended up working, we responded to each other a lot. there was one week where we actually asked everybody to respond poetically directly to something somebody else in the group had done poetically. So that kind of process unfolded that way. And there are pieces here, like the very first piece, that the tale is actually, I think there are three different poets whose voice, and you know, we didn't design it that way. We took a couple of lines from one piece and a couple of lines from another and a couple of lines from another, and that's how it worked out. So the whole thing really is a kind of you know, flowing conversation, which I think is what you know, the whole stating a theme and doing variations on a theme and jazz, how that works. So I still think that's, you know, it's a really potent metaphor for how our process worked.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Are there any additional questions or comments before we move on to the evaluation criteria?
Have we to talk about the whole presentation, the whole document that was provided to us, or, you know, all the budget and everything else, or are we not talking about that right now? Is that later?
The initial budget or what?
The budget that was provided in this dossier for us today. Is that part of the discussion right now?
I have to defer to Michelle on that. That was the initial budget, and a new budget is being formed because we have increases in, you know, materials, fuel, labor, and we further have increases in cost because of the complexity of the engineering.
Right. That was going to be.
But that has been with the money that Jen found, that those costs are now, I think, incorporated in
okay.
the budget.
Okay, because that was specifically my question, because I know, Diana, you referenced earlier that costs had risen and the budget had expanded. So, and it's probably my failing, I'm outside of, I didn't catch that, where that had changed and by what that had changed. So I was still looking at the previous 500,000 budget. Is there a new top line figure that's been agreed?
It's approximately 683,000.
683, okay.
By about 180,000.
And is that funded also through, is the source of that funding, has that been made public?
I'm not sure what that means.
It's city funded.
It is city funded, okay.
I could provide a little background on that in my discussions with Jen. And I really want to recognize Jen's work to, you know, move this project ahead, probably at a really difficult time in her life where she was doing two jobs. She did find this money. The money was actually in the budget already. And because this was the last of a series of projects, there was this surplus, and that's how the rest of the project was funded. Because it was the last project in a series of, I don't know what series of projects, or I can't speak to that, but that was my understanding. So it was public, it was city money.
So just with that in mind then also, I guess, again, being the, hopefully an advocate for the artist and the artists involved. The previous budget that I was looking at, that I was referencing, that was attached to this meeting, was a $500,000 budget. And I noted that within that, there was a $1,250 per poet fee, which I thought was modest in a $500,000 budget. I think my point is even further emphasized in a $683,000 project. And so if there is indeed a reevaluation of the budget underway, I would really advocate that not only do raw materials costs go up, but so indeed does intellectual insight and creative output. And so I know I'm preaching to the converted, I'm sure, but I would advocate for considering the increase in payment to the individual poets involved.
That's a very good point.
Thank you so much for the additional information. Any further questions or comments before we move to the evaluation criteria? It should also be in your packet as well.
Okay, the evaluation criteria and evaluation scoring sheet are based on the call to artist, which provided the parameters of the scope of the project. As Michelle mentioned earlier, the ASP will be evaluating the text content as reflected in the final design presentation and scoring the evaluation statements using a Likert scale, 1 to 5, from strongly disagree to strongly agree. On the bottom of your evaluation sheet, you'll see the definition from a 5 to 1, as well as the maximum points that can be tallied and the minimum points that can be tallied to essentially suggest a motion to approve. And then 32 to 24 points suggests and the art selection panel may approve contingent on modifications. And then below 24 points, the artist must resubmit the final design to have time to make the requested modifications to bring this final design to approval. So we're gonna give you all some time. The one statement that has already been filled in for you is that the artwork includes a special requirement to hold spaces for possible sculptures by others and for the possible future installation of Law of Liberty relief sculpture. This is not included in phase one, but it was reflected in his overall design for both phase one and phase two, as you saw earlier. That was a requirement in the call to artists, so we just pre-checked that for this group today.
Ashley, or Kimberly, were these items that are listed criteria that have been created for us to score? Were they created by the Art and Public Places panel, or were they created by staff? Because they are not verbatim from the call to artists or other documents. So I'm just trying to understand who wrote these criteria that we are supposed to be using.
They're pulled directly from the call to artists as well as the stakeholders' vision presentation. With the exception of the last is pulled from Cliff's earlier proposal, design proposal to this group in May of last year. The final design responds to and amplifies the voices of Jacksonville in regard to the principles of justice administered in the Duval County Courthouse and that reside in the basic tenets of American democracy, as this group desired during that conversation. We felt it was appropriate to make sure that what was presented today still met.
So that was a different stakeholder group.
The earlier stakeholder group was different from this committee, and this art selection panel. It was made up of civic leaders, courthouse judges, as well as courthouse staff, City of Jacksonville leadership, as well as public individuals. And these were early panel meetings that were.
And you're saying there was a specific reference in our evaluation process in selecting the artist that talked about the memory of the dialogue that occurred in 2021. That was a criteria. That's the first I recall ever hearing that.
I'm sorry, that is also part of Cliff's earlier design proposal.
And there's another option too that we can do to Madam Lawyer's point. We can do a three-way vote. So earlier mentioned in the agenda, we talked about approval with contingency, or just not voting it and then having the artist go back and reconstruct it. So those are three options that we could also do, where you could vote yay or nay on approving or approving with contingency, and then being able to request what those contingencies are, then that would get brought back to the AP committee. So in September, they would review those contingencies, make sure they were adhered to, and vote to approve the process and policies. Or the third option we could do, just to keep it simpler, would be if you did not vote or approve on this and you didn't feel that the presentation was representative of what the ASB thought, then Cliff would have to go back and curate new text to resubmit for ASP approval. So there are three options that way that I disagree with OGC, just to make sure that, this process, because we are piloting a new process. So we're working through this to try and help, utilize verbatim what the public has curated. But to Rory's point, if there's a simpler way that we can kind of align this and make sure that there's a critique in it, we can also put that on the panel to decide if that's an easier solution for evaluation.
So I'm open to hear what other people want to do and how they approach it. I'm feeling like the particular criteria that are provided are steering toward a particular result. And I'm not liking being pigeonholed into these criteria.
Caitlin has her hand up.
Sorry, I'm. So a couple of things. One, this criteria or this metrics, it wasn't, I don't think I can actually vote because I'm not present. I can engage in the conversation, but this wasn't attached to the Zoom meeting. So I didn't actually see any of this beforehand. I don't know if everyone else saw this stuff. So that's the first thing. I'm not sure that therefore I can really comment much on it. Second thing is, I guess, it's probably my failing. I don't fully understand the process that we're trying to go through right now. So you would give figures, and then based on the figures, you're deciding whether the final process meets where it. I don't understand what's happening right now. Surely, is it maybe, does this presentation that has been presented today meet what we originally felt it should, as per the original criteria that we all voted upon? I'm also curious about earlier in the discussion, someone mentioned a text committee. I'm not sure what that means. And so to Laurie's point, to be at this, you were saying, well, we could vote on part of it with the caveat of, I'm not sure what's happened with the process. So I'm trying to understand that a little.
Sure. There are a couple of great questions in there. So I'm just going to walk through them itemized. And then Corey, if you want to add any additional thoughts on ASP process to make sure that we're making sure that all of her questions are well answered. On Friday, Ashley sent out the criteria that we drafted to be able to evaluate. This was a proposed evaluation based off of shareholder vision input. We were looking for something, because this is our first time evaluating this process, that helped utilize the voice of the people. So it wasn't us choosing the verbiage, it was us utilizing verbiage that was previously constructed from project goal, shareholders vision, call to artists. And then that last portion was from the presentation from the artist on May 21st that talked about the actual verbal writings that he was presenting to work on for that year. So this can be seen as a proposed document for evaluation. We've just confirmed with OGC, since this is our first pilot process, that we can make it even simpler for everyone. And to your point, Kathleen, talk about A, B, or C. Does it hit it out of the park? Are we all in agreement? Yes, we want to move forward. Does it hit it out of the park and we just want to add some contingency items to address some of the concerns of the panel? Or is it C, would we like the artist to go back and say, hey, this is really recapture what the artist panel was thinking, but if you can incorporate XYZ items, can you come back to us with that? So that's sort of the light lift process, in the sense of not having to go down this road. This was more of a proposed evaluation form to ensure that we had some public-based input and criteria around the evaluation. And we want to make sure that the ASP panel feels like however they're voting is able to feel like it's a process that answers their questions and makes them feel good about the final selection of the piece. And then there was one other, was there one other question you asked, Kathleen? I want to make sure. Of the textual committee. I'm going to turn that over to our APP chair for him to walk through the process and why we're here with ASP panel, just to confirm that through another leadership source.
Okay, so the first thing about the text committee or like a sub-panel that was discussed, I think at least someone asked, that's really not by ordinance the design feature of the art selection panel. We can subgroup that to review text or to approve text and then bring an approved already by a sub-panel to a large panel. And that was really one of the first, you know, as far as when I was coming into this meeting, was one of the first objections that was brought up from the Office of General Counsel about what the ordinance of the art selection panel is, and that they really break into smaller groups to review the text. They need to review the text altogether. So that's what this meeting is about, is reviewing the text. Second thing is, and this is more of just my opinion and experience of working on these art selection panels, so you do not have to use an evaluation criteria. This is just one that's been outlined for the panel. You can do any number of voting, or any way of voting that you want to. Ultimately, there are only three outcomes. There's approve, disapprove, or approval continues. So those are the three options of what a vote would result in. This is brought essentially, I'm trying to remember how long ago it was, but there was a panel that then was like, well, what are we evaluating exactly? A conversation was going on so long that it was like, well, let's evaluate it based on the point scale and select a couple of options for what we're approving or disapproving. It sounds like from the panel's discussion, some of the questions, that there's disagreement about what the assignment was, essentially, what you had, you know, hired the artist to do with the text. That part of it sounds like it's something to be hashed out by the panel. But again, I'm just...
Well, and let me follow up then with what you've said. So those are the three outcomes.
Yeah.
Approve, disapprove, or approve with contingencies. If it's approve with contingencies, who decides what the contingencies are? Is there a vote on that? What's the criteria for that? So that when it goes back to you all, you know what the contingencies are.
This group would do that. And Corey, if I can remind you, we used that with our Water Street parking garage. There was a slight change,
right,
a couple of slight changes that was requested by the panel. They approved, contingent that the artist made those revisions, and ultimately that responsibility to ensure those changes were made were bestowed upon staff. And then of course, there's this extra step of the committee approving the process as a whole.
Which committee, this committee or the
So to further reiterate, art in public places, to make sure that the policies and procedures were followed. And that is the representation of Corey and Kimberly today. And then ASP decides what art, what text goes on that art piece. And so you're welcome to have as much discussion about what areas you want to support or that you think need to delve in. We do have our meeting minutes that do outline what Corey and Judge Salvador had brought up previously about the original context of the medium text. So there are topics for discussion that we can review, and we do have you know, a copy of the minutes that we can share, just if you wanted to review that as well. So we're here to administratively support the will of the panel.
Corey, just go through the chair. What I would propose if I was, you know, inflating a meeting that was similar kind of thing, just like you basically propose amendments. You know, you say, well, you know, what do you think about this idea that we have to add this contingency? I like it, but what do you guys think? We discuss that.
I didn't get that.
The last part. So as far as if you wanted to add a contingency, then you know, this panel would be somebody in the panel, any member of the art selection panel can propose a contingency for the other panel members to discuss whether they like that contingency or not, or they want to include that in what's being voted on. And you know, really ultimately it's left it up to discussion to get to a place where you can vote, where a motion can be,
You know, one of the reasons that I asked Jen to convene a committee of people to comment on this text was because I knew that this would be very difficult to decide upon. And I wanted to do a thorough community review. That committee met And I understand that that evidently is not accommodated in your process, which Michelle has now explained to me, and Corey, you have explained to me on another occasion. But, you know, we have made every attempt to make this as symmetrical and responsive as possible. A year of work has gone into this, and, you know, we're trying to approve this and move ahead. I do understand Lori Boyer's comment that it was the wish of Jen and some other people that, yes, we incorporate the actual document. We tried to do that in the collaboration, and everybody sincerely, you know, addressed that, and that's not the way that it came out. And again, that's why I asked Jen if we could have a committee of people look at the text, which they did. And, you know, that wasn't one of the comments that they gave back. And now I'm being told that that was not part of what the process should have been. So as an artist, I'm sitting here looking at a process that wasn't really clear from the beginning. And, you know, I don't want to point any, that doesn't matter. We're here now, right? And I guess what I feel with my collaborating poets is that we have created a very unique process, and I'm not surprised it's challenging the process that you have in place, because it is really different. You know, like, you chose an artist and then he brought a whole bunch of other artists. You know, so I'm doing my job, you know, making art that's challenging, that, you know, that tries to open new visions to the community and to create a place in a different way. And, you know, we're really here just to get this approved, which is something that has been really well thought out, really well researched, and has already has a year or more of work behind it. And I would add that, you know, I haven't been paid anything. I've been working for a year or more on this. So that's perplexing to me.
Can I, Mr. Garten, this is Tatiana. And I, first, let me say, appreciate very much the work that you and the other artists have done collaborating on this. This is going to be a fantastic addition to our community. You have, and I acknowledge, have worked a year with this to review all the texts, to collaborate with the poets and the artists about what is to be included. A week. We were not part of any discussion on texts. We did not know what for then. I will agree with Lori Boyer. We were under the impression, and I'm no artist, let me preface this, I am a lawyer, I am a judge. I come to it from a very pragmatic and practical perspective. It is my foundational document, the United States Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and I too was under the impression that there would be at least some direct from those documents, and then it would be this collaborative wall of engaged in over a year that responds contemporaneously to those foundational documents of our country. So while I can understand your exasperation and frustration of this process, I have to tell you, as I'm frustrated, because I only got this material a week ago, and now I'm expected to either just approve it or not. And I'll tell you, I don't want to disapprove it, but I can't approve it as it is presented right here, right now, without further thought and reflection and commentary among our committee, because this is the first. I hate to ruin everyone's schedule, but I think we're going to have another meeting on this. I'm not prepared to vote on this text right now in this form, in this fashion, not to mention which, we are beyond our time for the meeting. I probably have a parking ticket, and I'm late to a 5:30 meeting that I have to chair. That's all I'm.
Thank you. I understand.
Madam Chair, through the chair, can we I mean, we vote on things with contingencies all the time. You know, the basis, the structural, I guess, aesthetic of this project is good. It's great. I mean, that's what we wanted to see. So there's still some question mark with the text. Can we vote to approve with the contingent of a re-review of further refinement of the text?
That was one option.
Yeah,
right?
So that's one option. So
Chris, let me yeah. How many voting members are there here? Who are the voting members present? There are five voting members present.
We have a quorum, so we don't.
Okay, I can tell you from what I've heard in the conversation, three of the members are not going to vote to approve as it is, at least.
And that I certainly respect that.
So if you want to get a motion to approve with a contingency that some of the foundational text is included and they come back to us and present which of the language they have in here they would still like to use as a response to the foundational text and how much foundational text is going to be included and where, I would make that approve subject to that. And then we will see another presentation and there will be historical text included from the Constitution and Declaration.
Can I just real quickly, I also feel perplexed about a number of things, and I'm sorry that I don't know, there's some anger in the room that I don't fully understand, and I'm sorry that that is the case. I was there with the original presentation in I think late spring of 2021, and I certainly remember the question about the text from the Declaration being on the spiral, and I remember the answer too, which was that as it appeared in that image, that was for an example of how the text could look. And I never understood from day one that we were going to include, you know, that actual image. Never once from day one did I ever have that understanding. It's not like we're against the Declaration of Independence. We love the Declaration of Independence. That's what we're doing here is honoring it, you know? So I'm sorry about people's parking tickets and things, you know? And I'm sorry for whatever frustration and anger there is in the room. This has been to me, I'm honored to be part of this project. I feel like it has, it's incredibly important. I take it very, very seriously, I promise you. And so I just, I don't know. I wish that there was a kind of more of a feeling of harmony here, and I'm not. I'm just a little bit thrown off by some of the tones of things. So
thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate your comment as well. And I don't think that, I think it's safe to say there's no anger it's more of, I think at this point, maybe a miscommunication in terms of what the expectation was from the panel versus the delivery of some of the text. So at this particular juncture, we certainly need to either make a motion to approve with some contingencies, and then we can circle back with Cliff Garten in order to determine what the next steps would be, because we certainly are over our time and we appreciate everyone's ability to be here today. So we certainly don't want to take that for granted. And I believe that Lori actually made some level of a motion, but we can make a vote in terms of, or a motion to vote to approve with contingencies, and then we can outline some of those contingencies in terms of the text, if that makes sense.
Lori, I have a quick question. Could we friendly amendment to add the minutes from our prior meeting and our prior discussion? Because I think that wasn't the only thing that was discussed at that meeting that we thought would be included in that, so that if we're going to contingency it, that we send them back and give them all of the minutes or even the recording from our last meeting so that they can at least have the benefit of hearing that whole discussion. I totally agree with that. Not a problem. What I would like to think about is, and perhaps this is a discussion for the chair and for Art in Public Places, whether they want to rush us into a motion with conditions, or whether this would be better served if they go back and talk to the artist, a little bit of a conversation, and then have us meet again to have a conversation. Because what I don't want is if the artist really feels like they can't execute this, or they feel like they were given different instructions, I kind of want there to be an opportunity for a dialogue where somebody has a conversation before we start imposing conditions.
With the panel, like, we're the people who basically will be discussing this. Because if it's basically a hard no, unless the declaration specific text is in there, then that's something that we technically have to deliver to the artist. That's not anyone else. That's our.
From my personal perspective, that was our direction. That's what I thought we voted on.
Mine as well.
And I've mentioned mine as well.
So at least three of the five that are sitting here believe that was our direction to the artist in the beginning. And so if there's a frustration that's that direction was ignored and a different direction taken, maybe based on some other advice from some other people, but not from the group that was supposed to vote on it.
Well, I was about to say, is that an option in terms of?
May I? Yeah, just quick comment. If we are going to reconvene, I think Lori's earlier comment about the evaluation sheet, we probably should see that crosswalk. It does cross over to the project overview, page 4. But even when I was trying to, I think the evaluation criteria are fine. But even when I was trying to crosswalk that to the other document, the call to artists, I didn't see it. So if we are going to reconvene anyway, I would suggest that that's made a bit clear, because that was one of Lori's first comments. And it was one of the things I was trying to crosswalk between the evaluation sheet to page 4 of the project overview. And then where did it go from there? Because on page 4, it says stakeholder vision based on the call to artists. And so when I flip over to the call to artists, I didn't quite see it. I wanted to be sure I was ranking it, you know, doing my evaluation based on the original call. And I didn't see that third connection that I needed to see. I'm not saying it's concerning to me. We were voting today and I could vote. I'm excited about it. It's a fantastic piece, but I don't want to forget Lori's comment. And then if we reconvene another time, then it comes back up again and we have to have another conversation. So I just would want to put that out front. Thanks.
And Marie, just a great point, and I appreciate you referencing that. That's just a proposed document. So the real voting is the 1-2-3 approach or the ABC approach. Approve with contingency or not approve. So you don't have to worry about that document. This is a new process that we were just proposing for the panel to review. So just want to make sure that you know that makes it a little bit more simple and clear and direct. And should the panel decide to go in either direction, it articulates those next steps.
Okay, thank you.
And I just would like to add, as another artist that was present in that meeting, I just want to join in with Tim. I did not hear the declaration specific language as a contingency upon the contract. I heard that as another idea of what could possibly go on the sculpture. So we obviously walked out of that meeting with different ideas about what we heard. So I want to make sure that that gets noted.
Just note it. At this point, I guess the options would be to approve, not approve, which means we're not moving forward based on the text.
I'm sorry, could you speak up? It's hard to hear you right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're at the juncture where we need to either approve with contingency, which is what I think we were originally talking about with the text, or to not approve. And the artist must resubmit information regarding the final design.
So you have a motion and a second already, correct?
To approve,
well, I was about to say no.
It lacks specificity just as much as it did before, as far as how much of anything needs to be included. Like, that's part of the that it was not very specific part of the part of what was tasked to the artist in the first place. I think one of the reasons why there was a misunderstanding. So if you're approving with contingency that some is included, it's a little bit more vague than I think you want it to be next time you vote on it.
So I'm going to withdraw the motion.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be another meeting.
Right.
And I
right.
think if you want us to write out how much of it, what percentage of the scroll, whatever needs to be original text as compared to response, we can do that. We'll get more specific, but I think we can't do it on the fly.
Yeah. May I just add also, I agree, Laurie. And I think that this discussion today, firstly, the artists, I think you have all done an extraordinary job responding to clearly numerous voices and directives and understandings and misunderstandings and perceptions and misperceptions. And so you have clearly done your job beautifully and thought and within the spirit and ethos in which was a very positive one that you were moving forward. I think the bigger conversation today that's come out is that the committee sitting around the table, and of which I include myself, we need to have another discussion, because it seems like there's a lot of different pieces there that have led to non-clarity, despite the fact, and speaking very frankly, despite the fact that process and procedure and bureaucratic process and procedure have been to the fore, as they should be in a city assigned and publicly funded a process such as this, but to then end up at the 11th hour with the artist sitting in a call like this, being exposed to this conversation, I don't think is really appropriate. So I do think that there should be no motion presented at this meeting, and that in fact there should be a separate meeting of us as the people involved in the process, which does not take the time and energy of the artist, but rather is for us to sort out the muddle that there seems to be right now. So that's what I would advocate for.
Thank you, Caitlin. So I, at this point, I guess, do we make a motion to reconvene at a different time?
So what I just want to understand this, what I, and someone, you know, if I'm wrong, correct me. The response is basically that if foundational texts had been included in the project, it would now be approved. Is that correct? Because that seems to be the only thing that the committee feels is lacking. You know, I don't want to get, I want to make sure that we're here to review a text. If the only thing wrong with that text is that it didn't include verbatim quotes from American foundational documents, then the rest of the text is fine. And we correct those, I can ask Yvette and Tim if they're willing to go back with me and, you know, correct that, because it certainly can be corrected. But, you know, I need a clear directive.
I think we would actually need to reconvene to basically hash that out, because apparently there is some miscommunication. So our apologies, and thank you absolutely for your time. But I do think that just as a art selection panel, that is something we need to hash out before we can give you a clear directive.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
If I can just say thank you, I want to acknowledge Mr. Gregg for your willingness to continue this process and work through it with us.
Judge Hudson, I didn't really understand what you said. I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Sorry, I'm having some IT issues today. I just wanted to acknowledge Cliff's willingness to go back to the drawing board on part of this, and I'm confident that we will get him an answer, and then he will get back something to us that we can all approve.
Absolutely. Thank you. Next steps, I guess. So we will need to put out another doodle poll
or another meeting.
Reconvene this meeting, and that is our only next step. So So I'm not sure if you heard this, but our next steps at this point would be to reconvene so that we would have another opportunity to speak together as a ASP or the Art Selection Panel. And then we will reconvene with you as well as the other artists.
Here, if I may make a suggestion to the Cultural Council staff that they make the panel members, what you can provide the meeting minutes from the Art Selection panel's meeting where they first tasked the artist with doing it, you can review the minutes and ensure that essentially the criteria that you discussed in the past is a part of how you're going to evaluate this next time and hopefully do agreement about what the criteria will be for how you evaluate.
And we actually have a recording that I can send to you.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
I believe there was discussion about in that you're going to find, I don't know if it made it in minutes, about the size of type of different
text.
It's
like medium text. Like, so
the medium text written. Was going to be the foundational and the small text was going to be the response, I think was the discussion.
So we have a recording and we have some writing that we can send out to the ASP panel from an administrative portion support from the Cultural Council. So we can send that out to the entire ASP to review in advance.
Is that something that you can share with?
We can absolutely. We can share it with Cliff. We can share it with the team. You know, it's a public document, so we're happy to help just everyone sort of re-listen and re-share. And the good news is that, you know, because there is power in the public process and power in the process, you know, we can come and support administratively however this panel chooses to utilize. So our two marching orders right now are making sure we have the audio and the written minutes. Is there anything else that the Cultural Council can do to help support the process moving forward or preparation for the next meeting? Just to make sure that if there's administrative support, we're here and available at the will of the panel.
We can do a doodle poll for the panel to get a date, to get a date set for you so that we can not let too much time go by.
Okay.
And just to make the panel aware, I mean, part of what we review is the process, is that you got what you asked for, one, and that ultimately the criteria that you gave the artist really didn't change. That's part of the reason I'm glad that you're evaluating the audio, because that's part of what you really need to do is say, criteria we gave to the artists to begin with is what we what we measured them on in the end. So this is a great way to ensure that that process is done correctly.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Unfortunately, at this point, I guess we will be calling the meeting adjourned and more information will be to follow with Cliff as the information will be shared with the rest of your team. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for your presentation.
A lively discussion indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.